Today's reading is from Jeremiah. O Lord, you have enticed me, and I was enticed. You have overpowered me, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I must cry out. I must shout violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become for me a reproach and derision all day long. If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, then within me there is something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. The word of God for the people of God.
For the past 6 weeks, we've been talking about change the world. And we've risen some questions that perfectly rational people might raise to excuse themselves from this change the world business. For example, Gustana started with us showing how big our planet is. And really, what can one person do to change the world? The following week, Laura pointed out so many different areas of ministry that need our attention. And all we are is a little dot. What difference can that make? The third week, we talked about pie. Slices of pie, right? But what we're really discussing is these pies are commitments. It's money. Some money goes to the mortgage, some money goes to the braces, some money goes to retirement, vacation, hobbies. So when it's left over, how much is left for charity? What difference can that make? Then Jeremy wants to be safe, drawing a line between the safe part of the world, where we are, and the other part of the world, where we're afraid. And then last week, Caitlin brought up the point that many of us are challenged with, time. There's only so much time, there's only so many hours. Where can we fit one more thing in? But all of these excuses, these are about us. And stewardship is about bringing God into the conversation. It's about believing God can accomplish things through us. So what would it look like to have no more buts? No more excuses. And God comes in to the conversation. Heard a story about a pastor 100 years ago. He was a sensation. He brought in thousands to hear his sermons. And every week, hundreds would respond to the altar call. And even other preachers said, wow, what is his secret? How is he doing this in his community? What can we do? So they approached him after a service one evening and said, what are you doing? What's your secret? He said, here's what you can do. First, draw a circle. Go home, draw a circle. And then step back from that circle and pray. Pray for God to come into your community, change the spirit of your world, and for it to begin in that circle. And then, after you've prayed with all your might, with all your heart, with all your soul, you step into the circle.
If you were here last week, I said that that was our last monologue, and I didn't realize we actually had another one for today, and I'm so glad we did, because when I read the script for the monologue and realized that Nate was going to end by standing in the circle and thinking about the importance of being in the circle, I thought about the last verse of that great hymn, take my life and I will be ever only all for thee. Take my life and I will be ever only all for thee. That is big. That is huge when somebody sings it from here. They say, I really mean that, God. Here's my life, unqualified. Take it however you can use it, any part of me, Lord. I am ever only all for thee. God changes the world with commitment like that. I've been thinking about how God has impacted the world through St. Luke's, especially in this last year. You know, there are a lot of ways to measure a church year. You can do it like we do planning a budget from January to December. In the United Methodist Church, we sometimes measure it on the conference year. That goes from July to July. Our annual conference, it usually in June, kind of marks the end of the conference year, the beginning of the year. You could do it from our own charge conference, which usually happens in December, December to December. But I believe in actuality, the year is measured starting today. Because what we commit, what we choose to do in supporting the work of the church, it determines everything that happens for the year ahead. That's what makes it possible. And I've been thinking about last year when we had our stewardship commitment day, when people said, I'm going to pledge my resources, my service, my time to support the church in the coming year, and the difference that it's made in 2014. Let me just share a few of the things that have happened because of the commitments we made last year. We started English as a new language class this year. We have now had several. Attendance has been as large as 60 people per class. And some of the participants in these classes have started coming to St. Luke's. We've had another great year of the Spring Hill and Vacation Bible School camps. Many of our own members are going out and providing transportation for kids in the community who would not get here if we weren't making that possible for them. And again, it's been a great year of camp experience. The backpack extravaganza in August, our second one this year, and we had another huge turnout, almost 1,000 kids getting back to school supplies. We continue to support Fox Hill School and a lot of other schools with tutors, with financial resources. In my Friday email this week, I included a picture of this letter. This was a thank you letter from a kid at Fox Hill that says, Dear St. Luke's United Methodist Church, thank you for allowing me to go to Broadway Kids. I love art and singing. I will love it. When I'm older, I want to be an actor or singer. I hope we do a play or musical. And then this is my favorite part. When I hit it big, I'll give you tickets. I will give you tickets to my awesome show. I'll remember the nice people who helped me. Well, that was worth the price of admission right there, wasn't it? That was worth every dime of a pledge card just to get a thank you note like that. Our United Methodist Women provide fundraisers throughout the year, like yesterday's Holiday Bazaar. If you were here yesterday, you walk in the door today and go, how did the building get transformed? Because it was mobbed in here yesterday. Money that UMW raises through events like this support mission causes around the world. We were able to start a new worship service this year, and through our generosity, created a new staff position. Fran Wyatt is now on board, the director of our 1045 service, and we brought on a new staff member to be the leader of what we're calling Emerging Adult Ministry. This is young adult ministry, 20-somethings. This is a picture of Mindy Moore, who directs this ministry. Just a few weeks ago, they had an event in Broad Ripple and had 30 20-somethings attend. Only a few of them are already engaged with St. Luke's. 20-some young adults who are not engaged in St. Luke's at all, who were a part of this group. Megan Bowman, who was an intern for Jamelin in the outreach department this year, went to that event. She's now on our staff. She said, you know what? St. Luke's became my family at that event because now I feel like I have a community. So all of these things were made possible because of commitments we made a year ago. And at the end of the service today, we're going to have opportunity to make commitments again. And in 2015, we want to make the same happen all over again. Just recently, our finance committee approved a budget. And I want to thank our executive director, Nancy Lang, and many of our staff leaders who created a great budget this year that actually is a slight reduction over last year's budget or the current budget for this year. A slight reduction without cutting or stepping back from the effective ministry in any department. We've worked to be as lean and effective with every dime that's given in this church. And so this budget kind of shows you, if you're able to make out the percentages and the numbers on the screen, you will see that the worship area, which is in red, represents 22%. This includes all of the costs related to worship, the staffing cost for people in the worship department, along with the salary packages for Dr. Marion Miller, who leads our Sunday night service called Later, and Dr. Linda McCoy. We provide that salary package. She is the leader of the garden for St. Luke's. And also the half of the salary for myself. And that probably means I'm half as effective as all of the others. But because a good part of my job gets spent in leadership and administration, we put part of my salary there too. The next little slice down, the green, is education, 16%. It covers all of our children, youth, young adult, and adult ministries. Outreach is 9%. And this also includes serving, which is congregational care, Stephen Ministries, visiting in hospitals and nursing homes. Facilities and witness that you can see represents 19%, all of the trustees' budget in the building, and also our hospitality. Then 23% to administration, which includes marketing and communications and technology. And then the last 11% supports United Methodism throughout Indiana and beyond. It's the greater work of the church. This supports all of our schools, our universities, mission organizations like the Children's Home, our global disaster relief like UMCOR, the Committee on Relief. One of the things I'm very proud of for St. Luke's, we give the most of any church in Indiana to support Methodism in Indiana. And not only that, we give the most of any church in our entire jurisdiction. There are a lot of people who depend on the generosity of St. Luke's. Faithful giving, changing the world, making a difference, this is in our DNA. In the early 1960s, a founding member of St. Luke's returned home from the Navy, Richard Luger. He and his brother took over their family business to keep it going, all while coming to church here every Sunday, listening to sermons by Bill Emler, Dick Hamilton, telling him almost every week, we're made to make a difference. We're made to make a difference. Richard Luger got on the school board in Indianapolis. He became very familiar with changing trends in the city, people who were moving out of the inner city, the inequitability of the tax base. The schools were going down. Many of the governmental services were not fair for all of the residents of greater Indianapolis. He became mayor in 1967 and started asking the question, what do we do about that? How can we keep in Indianapolis from going the way of other cities where the inner cities were imploding? He went down south to find some answers. He went to Nashville, Tennessee and Jacksonville, Florida. He discovered a new experiment that was happening to merge city and county governments so that the tax base of the city could be raised. There would be fairness in the decision-making across the board. There could be a greater distribution and consolidation of governmental services for all residents. He said, but it was controversial. Doing that in Indianapolis would not be easy. It's never been done in a northern city. He would also have to get the approval of the state legislature, which would take a lot of political financing, but somewhere in this work came the name UniGov. When I moved here 3.5 years ago, people told me about UniGov, and they told me with great pride, we're so proud to have UniGov in Indianapolis. Here's what it's done for us. It prepared the way to take Naptown to Super City. It prepared Indianapolis for a lot of the great things going on today. So when I was talking to Senator Luger one day, and I asked him about UniGov, I said, you know, everybody's so proud of that. It must have been a slam dunk. He said, you obviously haven't been in Indianapolis long. He explained there was a lot of pushback, a lot of resistance. He said, but really the core of the resistance was this. People said, don't change my neighborhood. We're all for helping the whole city. We're all for seeing that services get spread about evenly, but just please don't mess with my neighborhood. And there's the tension, isn't it? Changing the world often changes our neighborhood. And it's never easy. It hasn't been easy in our own church this year. The neighborhood of St. Luke's has changed this year. And I'm not talking about geography. I'm talking about the emotional home of our community. We made a real big change this year to pursue what we identified as a major initiative for the future, reaching younger people. From the day I arrived, across the board, people in the church said, we've got to reach younger people. So through a lot of work, we determined that offering a different expression of worship at a prime time on Sunday morning right here in the sanctuary would tell people we're serious about this. We're willing to sacrifice comfort to do this. And so we did in May. We changed our 11 o'clock service. We ask people who were coming at 11 o'clock, give the new service a try. Just give it a try. And to the credit of the majority of the people, they gave it a try. They did. We said, now, if that's not your cup of tea, what we hope you'll be able to do is maybe come at 8 o'clock or 9:15. And many of you here today were former 11 o'clock worshipers, and you're here now. But there's a significant percentage of St. Luke's who have not been able to do that. And they've kind of felt left out of the future of the church. They've said, you know, it's just not a possibility for us. And it just feels to us, people who have been hugely committed here, people who have sacrificed and given to make this church what it is today, who feel like to reach new people, you've told some of us who've been around for a while that we don't matter anymore. And that could not be further from the truth. If a mission for the church was to reach new people, to welcome more into the fellowship of God's family, but to do so it came at the expense of people who were here, it would be a flawed mission. Paul wrote to the Corinthians. He talked about how every part of the body matters. God has arranged the body so that there should be no division, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. That's how the church is meant to work. Therefore, the leaders of our church have been working and considering a lot to say, how can we make people who have felt left out, who aren't able to come anymore, who maybe have stepped away from St. Luke's, feel like they have a place here? We're considering a number of things. One of them is to offer another traditional worship service at a late hour of the morning, maybe coinciding with our current 10:45 worship service. Maybe even asking you, would you like to go back to the old worship times? Has that 15 minutes been a struggle? Now, time out. Do not walk out of here today and say, oh, we're starting another traditional worship service and we're going back to the old times. I have gone rogue this morning. I'm talking on my own without any permission from our governing board, our staff, or any other person because I'm the pastor and I can just do that every now and then. Why would I bring this up? I can promise you right now, our governing board's asking that question. Rob, why are you bringing this up? It's to let you know that when people feel left out, that burdens me. And it burdens our leadership. And if you feel like you've just been forgotten, it's far from the truth. We spend an inordinate amount of time examining ways we can have worship offerings, programming that does appeal to everybody, that gives everybody an equal opportunity. And we are considering a lot of things. We will have opportunities if we get to a place where we say, hey, what about this idea? We're going to include you in on it. We're not making decisions that say, you've just been told what's going to happen to you and what's going to affect your neighborhood. We're going to give you a chance to buy into that. In fact, one of the things I'm going to start again is some listening forums with our church. I did that in my first year here. I'm going to do it again. Once a quarter, I'm going to have pastor chats, and anybody who wants to come can come and ask me any question. I might not answer every question, but you can ask me any question. We can talk about what's going on in the church, get your feedback on things. Once a quarter, we're going to have one in December. Be on the lookout for that announcement coming soon, and for each quarter thereafter, I will have these open listening sessions. We want everybody to know that you matter. But let me ask this of you. Do not forget our DNA. And I'm not just talking about St. Luke's DNA. I'm talking about our Christian DNA. We worship a Savior who gave his life for the world. We are part of a community called together by one who said, if you would come after me, take up your cross and follow me. That is how God changes the world. When the church starts saying, what has the church done for me lately? How can the church meet my needs more? We mutate our DNA when we do that. Because that's not how God changes the world. God changes the world through people who come together and say, this is not about me. This is about how God can use me to make a difference for others. That's my request. In our staff right now, we're telling our faith stories. And a couple of weeks ago, it was my turn. And I told about growing up in a Methodist church where I just fell in love with a God who loved me unconditionally. I loved the symbol of the cross. The cross meant to me that God would stop at nothing to share that love with me. And I went into ministry just believing that everybody ought to know that. That a community of God's people ought to make sure everybody knows that information. And I went into the ministry with this sort of naive idea that if you just share that simple notion that God loves you unconditionally and will stop at nothing to let you know that, everybody's going to be thrilled about that information. And I have found that when you start talking about what it takes to make sure people know that information, it rattles neighborhoods. It can shake a few things up that are comfortable and meet the needs of people. And it ain't always easy. And I told our staff that day that I've stopped counting the number of times when I've said to God, I can't do it anymore. This is harder than I thought it was going to be. I can't do this. And during this past month, my daily Bible reading has been in the book of Jeremiah. I love the prophet Jeremiah. Talk about a tough call. He had tough duty, real tough duty. He was a wartime prophet in Israel. And his message with the enemy at the gate was to tell the people in the city, give up and surrender. Imagine somebody during the Iraq War saying, we ought to surrender to Iraq right now. Imagine. That's what Jeremiah's message was. How popular do you think he was? He was scorned, he was beaten, he was imprisoned. He couldn't buy a friend. And in the passage we heard this morning, there was a moment when Jeremiah said, God, I give up. I can't do it anymore. This is just too hard. And then he said, but your message that you have given to me, it's like a burning in my bones. And I cannot but tell other people about you. I cannot but tell people. I know that feeling. You know, it gets tough at times. It can be hard in ministry, trying to lead a community to say, what is God calling us not to do for ourselves, but for the world around us? That can sometimes be very challenging. I can't but share that message. And I ask us today, to say, God, what have you put in our hearts and what have you put down deep inside our bones? To say, what's the difference that you want us to make for other people? How do you want to use us to change this world around us? Because nothing can stop a community of people who paint themselves in the picture and say, I give myself to you, Lord, my ever only all for thee. My ever only all for thee. I give that to you today. Wow. God just says, I can change the world with that. If you're a member of St. Luke's, you received a card like this week in the mail. Hopefully you received it. And if you didn't, you'll notice on the pew rack in front of you that there are some cards there you can take. And we ask that you wait until this morning to fill it out, to be in this moment right now. What does my ever only all look like to make ministry happen in the year ahead? Because let me tell you what we're doing is too important to quit on. It's too important to give up on. If you've been thinking about leaving St. Luke's and going to another church because we've not been meeting your needs, my ask of you today is don't quit just yet. Don't give up on us just yet. Some have continued to watch by the internet. Hang in there with us. Don't quit yet, because what we're doing is just too important. If you're a guest here, we certainly don't expect you to participate, but we're not going to stop you at the same time. If you're coming here today and you're sitting there thinking, you know, there's a realness about St. Luke's. There's a genuineness here. I want to be a part of a community that genuinely calls forth my best and is not bashful about that. We welcome your support. In a moment, we'll have a chance to fill out our card and fold it, bring it, place it in one of the baskets that you see down front. But as you just give pause right now to think about how important this is, the difference that this makes, I want you to look at some pictures right now. Images that just capture our year in ministry. People building wheelchair ramps for folks. Sports activities started by our members in the communities. International missions activities right here. Just take a moment just to sit back, listen to this song, watch these images, and then I'll come back and lead us in a prayer as we get ready to close our service.
You're the God of this city, you're the King of these people, you're the Lord of this nation, you're the light in this darkness, you're the hope to the hopeless, you're the peace to the restless, you are. You're the God of this city, you're the King of these people, you're the Lord of this nation, you are, you're the light in this nation. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done. We believe in you, God. Greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city. Greater things have yet to come, and greater
I love all of the pictures of the kids and the teenagers serving. And I just look at that and I wonder which ones of those are the next Dick Lugers? Which ones of those are next mayors, governors, senators, or more, who will say, I just grew up in this church that just taught me I was made to make a difference. It got inside my bones. I couldn't get rid of it. Well, we're going to have a moment to fill out your card. And then as we stand and sing, as you are ready, just come to one of the baskets and place your card in that basket. I can see our teenagers who are over here with your cards, right, guys? You got your cards? They're going to lead the way. The kids are going to lead the way saying, we believe in this for our future. We think this thing called church matters. And it does. So gracious God, as we conclude this service, we do so with our commitment. We fill out these cards representing a lot more than just time or treasure. They represent a belief that this thing called church still matters. And for another year, we give our ever only all to thee, to give our very best, and prompt us with what that would be so that greater levels of ministry can happen here in this community, in this neighborhood, but in every neighborhood as well. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.